Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't it a stretch to think of Jacob as a convert to the faith? If you grew up in a Christian family, does that mean that you were never converted to the Christian faith? Or that you were converted at birth or somewhere about that time? These are good questions to think about in light of our theme for Lent, converted to the faith, and having just heard the word of the Lord from Genesis about Jacob and how he wrestled with God and prevailed. Jacob is an interesting conversion from the Bible. He, like others who were converted that we've listened to so far, had some kind of initial relationship to our Heavenly Father through the Word and through here some family ties. Isaac was his father, Abraham his grandfather. Remember the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Recall, Abraham believed in God, and God credited it to him as righteousness. God revealed himself to Abraham. He had the stars. We're going to hear more about that next week when we think of the conversion of Abraham. Likewise, God revealed himself to Jacob in today's text, perhaps even in a more direct way than Abraham, even a more personal way than his grandfather. According to this text, he even wrestled with Jacob. Think of that. Sure, Jacob already knew the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, but now through personal events. Jacob would come to know God personally, even wrestling with him one-on-one, making Jacob even firmer in his faith and the reality and his relationship with God. Who says conversion has to be a 10-minute conversation by which one finally assents to the faith that there is a God? Maybe conversion is really about coming to the belief that one true God is for you and wants something to do with you personally. It's one thing to know that God exists. It's another thing to know that God is for you, has something to do with you in a personal way. May we all wrestle with our call to believe and not just ride the coattails of some other person like our parents or our grandparents. Oh, I just believe because they believed and I've just always been a Christian. May we each and every one of us wrestle with our personal relationship the way God wants to know us personally and for us to know Him personally, just as He came to Jacob. So let's assume that Jacob was coming into the truth that God personally wants to know him, and he wrestled with him, and being converted more fully to the truth in a personal for you God. Then what does this wrestling and prevailing with God mean? It means, in terms of this conversion and our conversion, like Jacob's, that number one, God comes to us as a man. Think of that. In the Old Testament, God came to Jacob as a man and wrestled with him. He called him Penuel, which means the face of God. Some call this, even Luther, the second person of the Trinity was there. That's the Son of God, pre-incarnate, not yet incarnate, but kind of a manifestation in the Old Testament of that Jesus person that we know later, wrestling with Jacob. And there he discovered the truth. Number two, conversion involves an awareness that God wants us to understand our name and our identity in relationship to him. During this wrestling and afterwards, Jacob insisted, well, actually, he said, bless me. And God said, what is your name? Now, does God already know his name? Certainly he does. So why does he say, what is your name? Because he wants Jacob to tell him, confess to him who he is. So he says, Jacob. And he says, no longer is your name Jacob, but now it's Israel. Israel. Israel means Some say Prince of God. Others say one who prevails against God. Interesting, that name, that's what it means. Prince of God, or one who wrestles and prevails with God. And this incident shows us a part of his new identity as one who is called by God a name. Number three, God can inflict pain in teaching us of his great power. Here he struck the hip of Jacob, caused great pain. There he limped during this wrestling. It's almost as he just about was beat by Jacob, and then all he does, he just touches that hip and makes it go out of joint. It shows God's great power and how God can simply do retribution if he wants to for all of our rebellion, and it would be just. And I guess it really shows us something greater, though. It shows us that God is not unfamiliar with pain and unfamiliar with the power that it takes to inflict pain, and that there is pain associated with that person of Jesus, that person who becomes man, the man of God, the Son of God in this world. Our Jesus knows pain, doesn't he? He who endured the cross for us certainly knows all about pain. He can inflict pain as God. God kills, God makes alive, the Old Testament says. God can also endure pain himself. He endured the pain of being beaten by Jacob in a wrestling match. But more so, the man of God endures the cross so that all of us don't have to die for our own sin, but can live innocent in God's eyes forever because we have that good of a brother. Number four, though God is greater, we prevail in our wrestling with God because God has established that the faith of his chosen beloved will overcome all things. Again, not just any faith, but faith that God has entered the world, even as a man, for us. That he has been gracious to us, though he could knock more than our hip out. Really, God takes the blows so that we can go free. Our God blesses us with a name from him, a name that we can bear in this troubled world. We, as the church, can say, we are the Israel by faith. We are Israel. We bear God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. At our baptism, we carry that name. That name's been put upon us. Just like Jacob took on a new name, so each and every one of us, when we're converted to the faith in baptism, we carry a new name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The name we recall every morning when we wake up, or every service where we say in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, reminds us of who we are. We're God's children. We live in him by faith because of our brother Christ Jesus. Finally, we know that man prevails by faith in the morning light. That's when Jacob realized all things, who he was wrestling with and how he wanted to be blessed by him. All night he wrestled. That's kind of our whole life. We wrestle with sin. We wrestle with God. We wrestle with his existence. We wrestle with all of our troubles, our crosses that we bear. But in the end, in the morning light, what do we see? We see God, don't we? So also Jesus, when did he rise from the dead? Was it at night? In the middle of the day? No, in the morning. That's when all things are most clear and fresh and new. That's when Jacob realized it was God he was wrestling with this whole time. So also on Easter, when we come to Easter, we'll realize it's morning. That's when we realize that this Jesus who dies on the cross for us rises again and shows us the new life, and that we receive there not a curse or a condemnation, but his blessing, that he lives. And because he lives, you will live. Praise be to God. Jacob's conversion teaches us to remember that the same God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament, is the same God today. He converts us. We are his. We wrestle with our new reality each and every day. Amen. And now may the peace of God the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, us. Keep your minds and your hearts in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.